Father, it is my prayer at this time that the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the hearing and understanding of those present would be acceptable in your sight now and forevermore. Amen. Well, during this Advent season, we've been talking about some of the names that we have come to know Jesus by, some of the names that are used in the Gospel of Matthew. We talked about the first week how he is the son of Abraham and the son of David, making him the king. We talked about the fact that he is Emmanuel, God with us. And today we're going to talk about the fact that he is the Christ. Now, I remember as a kid growing up in the church and hearing all this stuff about Jesus Christ, and for the longest time, I thought Christ was his last name. You know, so his dad would have been Joseph Christ and his mom was Mary Christ, but that wasn't the case. Christ is a title. It's actually a Greek word that means anointed, anointed. The Hebrew word is Messiah, and that's who we're expecting on Christmas. That's who everyone's been expecting, is this Messiah, the anointed one. The question is, what does that really mean? Well, we talked a little bit about the idea of Messiah when we were talking about Jesus being the son of Abraham and the son of David, because the king is one of the people that gets anointed. You see, an anointed person is someone who is set apart for something special. And certainly being the king is one of the things he's anointed for. But he's also anointed for something else that we often overlook. And I think we overlook it a little too often. The other person in Israel that would be, or people in Israel who would be anointed, are the priests. In particular, Jesus came to be the high priest. Sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that. I know there's a lot of contemporary music where they sing about, you know, Jesus being the prophet, priest, and king. You know, we see the prophet part, we see the king part, but we overlook the priest part. You know, the priest and the prophet really kind of work together, although they didn't actually work together, but they work in a very similar function. You see, what the prophet does is the prophet comes to us and tells us what God says. That's the prophet's job. The prophet is there to tell the people what God says. The priest is there to tell God what the people said or what the people need. See, the intention through the Old Testament was that the people would communicate with God through the prophet. Not the prophet, the priest. Excuse me. So when you had a sacrifice to make, you wouldn't make your sacrifice yourself. You would take your sacrifice to the priest, and the priest would make the sacrifice on your behalf. One of the problems, though, was that the priest needed to make a sacrifice himself. Our scripture lesson is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Every high priest is selected from among men and appointed to represent them in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and are going astray, since he himself is subject to weakness. This is why he has to offer sacrifices for his own sins, as well as for the sins of the people. No one takes this honor upon himself. He must be called of God, just as Aaron was. So Christ also did not take upon himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." You see, the priests were flawed. The priests made mistakes because they were just regular men. And before they could make a sacrifice for us, they had to make a sacrifice for themselves because they're not perfect. Jesus himself was the sacrifice. He was able to sacrifice himself because God let him do that. It's why he came. Christmas is about Easter. One of the beautiful things that we have in the fact that Jesus is our high priest and the fact that he doesn't need to make that sacrifice for us. Well, he's made the sacrifice for us, but we don't bring our sacrifices to him to be made the way people used to bring their sacrifices to the temple to be made, because the sacrifice has been made. So what do we need the high priest for? He still talks to God on our behalf. He's going to stand with us. You see, he stood in our place on the cross, but he's going to stand with us in judgment. When God looks at his people, he sees Christ. Sometimes we forget. We need him to be there for us. It is As God's anointed, he stands before the throne of God, just as the priest would have. The sacrifice made, he's there to speak for us. That's the important thing. We have this relationship with Christ. As we are his brothers and sisters, we have this relationship with him where he is the one that we can go to. If you ever have that relationship with somebody, that there's somebody that you can count on. Have you got somebody in your life like that? Someone you can count on, no matter what you need, you can go to that person. You know, maybe it's not a brother and sister, but maybe it is. Growing up, did you have that brother and sister, brother or sister that you could just count on for everything? You know, what you needed, you could go to them. Well, Christ is that brother to us, that when we have that need and he goes to the Father, I don't want to say anything bad about my father. I love my father dearly. But he was tall and I found it a little imposing. I had shared with Robin recently a story. I don't know if I ever even told my mom about this, but we were talking at one point about, you know how little kids have monsters in the closet? I didn't have a monster in my closet growing up. See, what we had in our house, there was a Frankenstein monster that lurked in the hallways outside my bedroom. And it turns out it was my dad. He was tall and had a flat top haircut. And for the longest time, at bedtime, he'd open the bedroom door and peek in, and the light from behind him, I couldn't see any details. There's just this shadow of a Frankenstein monster. But it was my dad. Eventually, I figured that out. But there were some things that I just really felt a little intimidated to go to my dad about. Did you have that? Did you have someone that you could go to who could take care of things for you? There's always the idea, I think, of the little kid on the playground who's got that big brother or sister waiting to take care of them. When they're being bullied, the answer they give is, wait till my big brother gets a hold of you. It's like that. And we're not using Jesus to threaten people. But we have that relationship with Christ that we can go to him. He is the high priest, and therefore God is the high priest himself. You see, in Israel, in ancient Israel, you had to go to the high priest for all these things. To get to God, you had to go through the high priest. There was a veil in the temple, a huge curtain in the temple that kept the people away from the altar. Most people never saw the altar. Only the high priest could go in there. And when Jesus died on the cross, if you remember, the veil was torn. The veil was broken so that we have access to that. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget that. I don't have the problem myself with this congregation, but I know Pastor Tom talks often about the fact that people come to him and say, here's the thing that I need prayer for. And I think it's great that people go to other people with their prayers. I need prayer for this. Will you please pray with me? Or I'm in this situation. Could you please remember to pray for me? But a lot of people go to pastors looking for prayer because they can't pray, or they think they can't pray. There was a young woman I knew some time ago who used to she was really always asking people, can you pray for me for this? Can you pray for me for this? And one day I remember somebody asked her, are you praying for these things too? Or somebody asked her, I have this prayer concern. Can you pray for this? She's like, no, I can't. Well, why not? God doesn't have time for me. God doesn't have time for me. So she goes to other people to ask them, because clearly God has time for everybody else. No, God has time for you. He has time for all of us. God's that big and he's that powerful that he's got time for us. He has the time for us, and we can go right to him. The veil's not there. We can go up to the altar on our own. We ourselves have access to talk to God. Just regular folk. It doesn't need to be a pastor. It doesn't need to be someone important. We are his children. And when the Christ came, he showed us that. He gave us that opportunity. In Israel, you had to be of the tribe of Levi to be a priest. That was the rules. In verse 6, from what I read, it said, and he says in another place, God referring to Jesus, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a priest who lived before the Levites were given the authority. There are some who say that Melchizedek himself was a shadow of Christ. He was the king of Jerusalem before Jerusalem was part of Israel, and he was also a priest. Much the way we see Jesus is the priest and the king. But sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we forget that we can go before him. I think we, even more importantly than that, need to remember that we're responsible to go before Him. In the passage that I read earlier, it's our passage for this particular Sunday, this third Sunday in Advent, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, pray continually. Sometimes we forget, don't we? See, it must have been so much easier back then. You could just take your sacrifice and let somebody else take care of it. I wasn't going to say anything, but now I am. A couple weeks ago, we were on our way up here from our little new church building in Moon Township, and we drove driving through Coriopolis. There's a church in Coriopolis that has a big sign up front that says 6 at 30, or is it 30? 30 at 6. Saturday nights, they have a 6 o'clock worship service guaranteed to only be 30 minutes long. Just in case you don't have time for God, I'm adding that part. That's not on the sign. Express worship, in case you're in a hurry, in case you don't have time. Welcome to Laodicea. My heart's breaking over that whole thing. I'm kind of laughing about it, but at the same time, my heart's breaking. I kind of want to put a sign up like that, but it's a trick. If you just don't have time, and yet we're supposed to pray continually, and we've only got 30 minutes for church. I wonder how many people go to that. It might be their busiest service. It's a shame if it is. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 tells us that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. John talks about love a lot. And when he's saying that everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well, he's not just talking about Jesus. He's talking about his other children. He's talking about those around you. Jesus was anointed. Jesus was the Christ. He's the King. He is the High Priest. Let us not forget that, not just this holiday season, but always. Amen.
Who can live in your sanctuary? Oh Lord, who can walk on your...
This program has been copyrighted under the Creative Commons Attributes Non-Commercial Share Alike License. For additional information about Faith Community Christian Church, or to contact Pastor Colin, please visit our website at www.faithc3.org.
By the loving heart, yes, by the loving heart, Lord, give us a loving heart to do your will.
The benediction is a good and final word, and we put that at the end so you don't miss what came in front of it. And our good and final word for today is Christ. Do you still use that as a cuss word? Are you going to after today? I hear so many people just use that as an exclamation. It's like a cuss word. Maybe it's a prayer. Maybe it's a prayer. Are you crying out to Him? Our salvation comes through Him because He is the Christ. We're called to pray continually. And it is through Him that we have access to God. Are we crying out to Him? This service is over. Your service may now begin. Go from this place and be blessed. Amen.